This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone with my producer Sara Abdurrahman, hitching a ride to the pyramids with Mohammed Khalifa, the director of a new cool YouTube show you'll be hearing more about. He's a TV guy, so I asked him which TV outlets best covered the revolution.
The foreigner media played a very big role in the Egyptian revolution. Mm-hmm. In the time when the Egyptian media didn't say anything about the Thawra and the revolution and stuff like that, only the foreigners were here and reporting that. So this is how people trusted the people who were in the revolution. They trusted the foreigner channels like Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera, Al BBC, CNN. Even though I don't like CNN that much, but at the same time, you know.
What about Anderson?
I like him. I have no problem with him.
Not crazy about CNN, but likes Anderson Cooper. Some things are universal. Also universal, distrust of Egyptian television.
It's very, very painful for me to say that Egyptian television wasn't able to tell what was happening in Egypt. Our sources were BBC, Al Jazeera, CNN, and all other channels. We wanted to know just what was happening outside our building.
Suha Nakosh worked at the Egyptian Radio and Television Union for 20 years. She was doing newscasts on Egyptian TV when the protesters launched the revolution in Tahrir Square. We met her in the Chantilly Cafe in upscale Heliopolis.
I studied journalism in Cairo University. I graduated in 1991. And when they started the project of Nile TV International with both languages, English and French, I switched to TV. And I had the feeling not only doing the job I love, but also I had a dream. I had this dream to represent Egypt and to create a small circle of good professional journalism in Egypt. I had this dream. I wasn't alone in this dream. All the group of Nile TV International had this dream to start to make a good journalism, TV journalism in Egypt.
And when did the dream die?
The dream died gradually. It was every day and it was everywhere and in every news bulletin we do. We focus on the news of the president, his son, the National Democratic Party. That day in Cairo, there was the demonstrations, there was clashes between police and the demonstrators, there was injuries, there was killed people. I had the difficult mission to go on air on the top of every hour and tell the people that Cairo regains its calm on the top of every hour. I wasn't in peace with myself. I was lying. It's clear. I admit that we had to lie in the past years. But on that day, I had the feeling that I have to take the decision to be on the part of those people who chose to defend one family and one party, or to be with the people defending all our rights.
So she quietly walks away from her career in state TV forever. A couple of months later, the head of Egyptian television is sacked along with two anchors, and a fresh new face walks into the spotlight.
My name is Bassel Sabri. Currently, I'm the show host of, you can say, the primetime talk show on Egyptian television, which is Masr al-Naharda, or Egypt Today.
Egypt Today is widely viewed 2.5 hours a night, 6 nights a week, on a network that has to do a complete turnaround if it's to be regarded as anything other than a sick joke. Basil, who used to work in the relatively more free foreign language service, has a big job ahead. Can you speculate why the people who hired you hired you?
First of all, there is an image problem because Egyptian television has been associated with so many lies and so many misinformation in the previous regime. The faces of anchors, the backgrounds, the studios, everything says old regime. I think that's one of the reasons that I have been chosen for this, because I'm a new face to most of the people. They're not sure how am I affiliated, but they think that a change in faces is very essential.
Many people like to say there are no red lines anymore, but everybody knows that there is still a big, bright, thick red line around the military. What are you going to do when you bump up against it?
Okay, that's a good question. The military intervened at one point in the revolution and averted Egypt going down the same path as Libya or Iraq. They have to be credited for that.
I think they have been credited for it. Now they have to answer for the current moment. There's been a lot of online documentation of people who were taken into custody and abused. But this kind of material doesn't make it onto television. Have you talked about it?
We haven't talked about it yet because I've been on air for only 8 episodes. And there are so many subjects that we need to discuss. And there is no really subject that is a taboo at the moment. If there is, and I discuss it, you will find me off air the next day. And if I get taken off air, I don't care.
So the prospect of losing the job doesn't bother you?
It doesn't bother me at all.
What about the prospect of going to jail?
If I get taken to jail, people will know why I was taken to jail. Because they see me on air, they see what I say, and it would be very strange, very weird, if I get taken to jail.
No, in a way, it's a great situation. Because you are so public that if you do push against that line, if you do report something that under the current repressive press laws amounts to defamation, if they punished you, everybody would know. That's a tremendous amount of power. Do you think you might use it?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
He says he will. Meanwhile, Egypt's independent satellite channels, most notably Dream TV and On TV, have no legacy of lies to contend with. Instead, they bask in the glory of reporting fairly on the revolution. Still, the heavy lifting of the information revolution happens online, not just in assembling testimony about the abuses of a nearly untouchable institution or peering into the crannies of political corruption, but in shaping the way Egyptians think about those things. Which brings us to Bassem Youssef. This is not the theme for the Bassem Youssef Show, although it was written by its sound designer. At the moment, this lightning-paced YouTube production hasn't got room for one, but someday soon it may. Bassem Youssef's audience is growing as fast as a snowball rolling down a hill, and it exemplifies everything that is new about media in post-revolutionary Egypt. As goes Bassem, his producers contend, so go the Egyptian media. And as go the Egyptian media, others speculate, so go the rest of the regions. Egypt's revolution was driven by young people sharing information online. And the way people communicate online is different.
When people talk about internet video or internet viewership, it's usually labeled as a lean-forward experience, that you need to sit close to your computer and watch the person talking to you and talking real, saying the real deal to you online.
Tarek Al-Kazaz is general manager at Baraka One Web, a production company that is actually making money posting original content on YouTube, itself a revolutionary act. But when Tarek cooked up a show starring his old friend Bassem Youssef, he was enmeshed in the other revolution in Tahrir Square, where Bassem, a heart surgeon, was attending to the wounded. Tarek told him,
I need to shoot something for the revolution, and I know that you have Jon Stewart everywhere in your in your being, okay? And I'm like, let's do the Egyptian version.
I always dreamt of having something like this in Egypt, where you actually have no limits in satire.
Bassem Youssef venerates Jon Stewart.
I mean, Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert works on how ridiculous the media is. And the 18 days of the revolution, we just like topped everybody. I mean, we were actually the home of stupidity. It was like juicy. Oh, yes, wow. I mean, that was a gold mine.
The Bassem Youssef show is formatted like The Daily Show, minus the interview. An appealing everyman sits in front of a screen airing absurd clips from the media, the bizarre statements of politicians, and reacts accordingly with wisecracks and funny faces and the occasional prop. He's the rational viewer's surrogate who, in desperate times, is in desperate need of a laugh.
I'm amazingly modest and fantastically humble, and I'm really, really up there in being down to earth.
This is the lean-forward experience Tarek mentioned, at once intimate and communal.
That's The Daily Show, something that was never possible in Egypt before now. Egyptian political satire is practically an oxymoron. So when Bessem shows a clip on state TV of a source crying crocodile tears...
It must be eaten again.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
And then opens the envelope to award the prize, it startles. Bassem's is the most subscribed to show on YouTube in Egypt. It's expanded from around 5 minutes to 15 minutes or more. And last Friday, he drew legions of fans when he dropped in on the ongoing protests in Tahrir Square. His favorability ratings are soaring.
We don't want lies.
Amir Ismail is Bessem Youssef's executive producer.
We are living 30 years of lying on each other. It makes us hating each other. So right now, people are close to each other. They want the truth. They want everything to be clear. Clearness is very important in the media, in social life, in dealing with each other. Just clearness.
Mustafa Halawani is a full-time composer. He wrote the theme we heard earlier for a movie. But he's also the show's sound designer.
Do you feel like you're working on something that could change the country?
Yeah, very much, yeah. It's gonna change the comedy in Egypt and this kind of shows big time. Here in Egypt, we are used to laugh even in the worst situations. And I'm sure you have seen this, like in Tahrir Square, in the middle of the revolution. All the things that people were screaming.
And the signs they carried, exhorting Mubarak to...
Leave because my wife is about to deliver. And, you know, funny stuff like leave because actually I need to go to the whatever hairdresser or something.
That kind of caustic rebuff to power gets no airing in state media. Even the local satellite channels, so much freer, don't smirk in the face of guns. But it's spilling onto the internet in shows like Bessem Youssef's. Topics of past shows, state media's attempts to demonize the protesters in the square, conspiracy theories involving Kentucky Fried Chicken, really, and the cynical use of religion as a goad to influence the vote on the recent referendum on the Constitution. Bassem sets real news clips of people predicting doom to music and delights in the panic mongering.
Let's play a game together called The Great Terror.
The elections will come quickly, and only the Muslim Brotherhood are prepared for it.
The Ikhwan will control the country, enforce Islamic law, cut your hands and feet.
But if you leave it to the people, an infidel may come to power.
A Christian will rule. The Copts will control you. The Crusaders arrived in Mansoura. This is a good game.
The show's most profound resemblance to The Daily Show is in its resolute moderation. As when Jon Stewart suggested signs for people to carry at his rally to restore sanity.
Here's a quick one. I disagree with you, but I'm pretty sure you're not Hitler.
In a recent episode, Bessem, for the first time, switched gears, as Stewart sometimes does, from strategic snarkiness to sincerity. It felt like a big risk.
My face totally changes in front of the camera, and I say, there's been like a thick boot on everybody's neck for 30 years, and when the boot is lifted, it's expected that everybody will scream and you'll hear things that you don't like. Nobody is a saint and everybody is mistaken. The Muslim Brotherhood is wrong, the Salafis are wrong, the liberals who actually talk so much about democracy, they're not that democratic either, because it has this kind of conceited kind of note.
If you aren't pure in your liberality, yeah, then you're...
Something like that. I mean, if you are going to address the people in Egypt... not to use religion. They're not going to listen to you. You, as a liberal, you really need to know that you have absolutely no weight.
Egypt, says Bessem, is not extremist, but it is devout. And the only voices with the potential to unify the nation are those of religious moderates.
You have to actually step aside to let these people talk to them. And there's a lot of moderate people. So you need a Muslim moderate to come say, like, there's God everywhere. It doesn't have to say that you have to forsake your mosque.
And at that point in the episode, the camera shifts from Bessem's blazing blue eyes to scenes from Tahrir Square during the revolution, scenes of stunning unity among people of all religious stripes.
And I said, maybe I'm stupid, maybe I'm naive, but I think that something happened a few weeks ago where everybody got together and then we get the revolution and, you know, oh yeah, that happened. And then I say, like, this kind of Islamophobia will lead to Christianophobia, to liberalophobia, to democratophobia. I'll remind you what some people said about you. And I bring Omar Suleiman, the vice president, who said, like, Egypt is not ready for democracy. And I said, like, Hosni Mubarak, when he told Obama, oh, Obama doesn't understand the mentality of Egyptian. So I come back to you and I was like, yeah, you know, we have to be ruled this way. I mean, there's no other way. And I said, like, no, we deserve better. We need better. We are entitled to have better.
The stakes are monstrously high in Egypt right now, and the media's role is crucial. As Bessem's patron saint once said,
the press can hold its magnifying glass up to our problems, bringing them into focus, illuminating issues heretofore unseen. Or they can use that magnifying glass to light ants on fire.
By the way, the YouTube title of the Bassem Youssef Show is B+, after Bassem's blood type. Get it? B positive. It's been hailed by some as the next big thing in Egyptian media. Tarek, who launched the show, predicts an almost certain future for Bassem Youssef on satellite TV.
This is why I'm panicking.
This is why you're panicking?
Yeah, this is why I'm panicking. Right now, I'm not actually voicing my opinion, but you can't just be in the middle being neutral. When you start actually to discuss current events, you will have to take a stand. You will actually have to piss some people. This kind of honeymoon will not last. Sarcasm here is in Egypt, in the Arab world, is very new. Once you make sarcasm about a certain person, this guy takes it very personally. You see John Stewart making fun of McCain and he's hosting him the next day. Right? Here, that doesn't work this way.
We are 5 years away. We are 5 years away from this.
We are actually 50 years away from this. Seriously.
Then again, many believe that what happened this year in Tahrir Square would take 50 years. And it might have, without the engine of the internet to help redirect the nation's hopeless passivity into popular revolt. The internet's power to organize is no longer in question. Its ability to inform still is. But not by Egyptian youth, who increasingly desert the mainstream media, dismissing its so-called objectivity as a pose, an excuse to evade unpalatable truths. For them, trust is based solely on transparency. And though this may send a shudder down the spines of established journalists, it is a true liberation for populations across the globe lied to from cradle to grave. This does not augur the end of journalism, but it does point to a future where expertise is embraced, but only when it can be verified, ignorant voices cannot be suppressed, and it falls to individuals to sniff out uncorrupted information. The authorities, who have spent the last half century or more subsidizing brazen fabrication, may howl, but for now, and for a long time to come, those who bother to listen will likely be laughing.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.